Dave, you know that last song, it speaks of all of creation worshiping the Lord. And as I was doing my part in terms of worshiping there on the side, I actually just thought I'm a speck of dust, one of 7 billion specks of dust on the face of the earth worshiping God. But more than us, the animals, man, the fish in the sea, the birds of the air, the insects on the ground, even the rocks, the Bible says, will cry out and worship God, and the stars and the moon and all the planets, all of these things just stand in worship of God. What a privilege to be able to worship such a great and a powerful King. Folk, I really hope that for those of you who were here this morning, you enjoyed Andrew's word. I sat here like a sponge and I just soaked it up. I can tell you right now, he's a man I've been friends with for 25 years and I know he lives every single word he preaches. And so, if you couldn't make it this morning, I really want to encourage you. The benefit of our website is all of our resources, especially sermons, are available online free of charge. And so, more than likely, it'll be up there by Wednesday. And I think it'd be great for you if you missed this morning to go and download that sermon. Just radical, cutting-edge stuff, which all of us can benefit from. So if you didn't get a chance to be here this morning, it's available. Have a listen, and I know you'll be greatly encouraged and challenged by that word from Andrew this morning. Well, as I said to those who were here this morning, I want to just pick up tonight on, in a sense, part two of last week's message. It is a little bit different, of course, but it follows the same sort of theme. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to read 9 familiar verses, but maybe at an angle you haven't seen them quite before. So Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 9. And really the theme of the message is strong and courageous for what lies ahead in 2017. Who knows what the year's got in store for you, but we know God does. And he wants us to be strong and courageous as we face the challenges and the opportunities of the new year. So here we go, Joshua chapter 1. And verse 1 to 9. Just to give you the context, it's always nice to know what we're reading. What had happened was, you'll see as I read the first couple of verses, is Moses had died. Moses was the great leader, the great hero. He had led the people of Israel from Egypt up until the Jordan River, which was on the verge of the promised land. So they come from a bad place. They were going to a better place. They had just about arrived. One last hurdle to cross, the Jordan River, and 2.5 million people lose their leader. And they must have been thinking, oh goodness, Moses is dead, what do we do? But as God always does, when somebody dies, he raises up somebody else. And so, never put your faith in man. Man can help you and lead you and guide you. But for example, if Mark Murrell disappeared tonight, Gunibi Baptist would go forward tremendously well, because God will raise up the next person. Don't put your faith in men, put your faith in God. And so Joshua is raised up by God to take them into the next chapter. And here we go. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. And now he defines the territory. He says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittite to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Powerful words. And I think especially of the Skirpas family, and I think of the Steps, as they said goodbye to their daughters who went to varsity. It's a brand new season. May those words be applicable to your families as well. New season, new chapter, strong and courageous. God's got his hand upon your girls. They're going to have a great future. So keep that in mind. Well, there's so much, I guess, you could unpack in these verses, but I want to give you four principles, crystal clear principles that God gives to Joshua as he faces a new season. And I pray that as you face 2017, in your context, in your life, you'll be able to apply these same four principles into your context. So here we go with number one. Courage is linked, we see from these verses, to a clear assignment from God. Let me say that again. Courage is linked to a clear assignment from God. In other words, there's no such thing as courage apart from mission and apart from purpose. You need something to be courageous about. You need a cause, a vision, a purpose, a mission. No one's just courageous for the sake of being courageous. You're courageous for something. There's something you're willing to live for. There's something you're willing to pursue. There's something you're willing to die for. There's a cause in your life that causes you to be courageous. And in Joshua's case, in verse 2 through verse 4, God clearly outlines the cause for Joshua. He says, Joshua, I've raised you up for this specific purpose. Crystal clear assignment. And the courage that you're going to have will be linked to that assignment. It's courage with a cause, if you want to put it that way. You're not just courageous to be courageous. You're courageous because I've given you an assignment, a task, a mission to fulfill. And your courage is linked to a God-given assignment. And that's why I said last week that there are many good things in life and in ministry that you could pursue. But not every good thing is a God thing for you. This is so important. There were many things Joshua could have done. He was a young, dynamic, successful man. There were many things he could have done. But if you read the scriptures, Joshua devoted his life to the cause that God gave him and nothing else. People more than likely came and said, Joshua, how about this? How about this? He said, no, that's a good thing. But I want to pursue a God thing. And God has outlined my assignment in verse 2 through verse 4. And I'm going to be courageous about pursuing that particular dream, that particular vision. And so my challenge again to you tonight, folk, we're already basically halfway through January. More than halfway through January. Have you defined your assignment for the year? What is it that God has called you to specifically for 2017? What is the mission of God for your life for this year? Because your courage will be linked to that mission. And it might be a good opportunity at some stage just to push the pause button. Take some time out to think and reflect. Reorganize your life. Rearrange your priorities. And in a sense, realign your life, the direction of your life, with the call of God upon your life. And that may mean saying no to some very good things. Because you are devoted to pursuing the call of God upon your life, a specific God-given assignment. What is that for you? Let me help you. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, and it's on the big screen. This is Paul writing to Christian people. He says, for we, all of us, are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. What does good works speak of? Purpose, mission. Assignments. God's made you not just to exist for another year, to go through the motions of life and religion. God's made Shanae. She's 14 years old. God's got a call upon Shanae's life. Standard grade 9 Hudson Park. There's a reason for her being there. Good works. So God's created us for good works, for purpose, for assignment. But listen to this. Which God prepared beforehand. What does beforehand mean? Beforehand means before you were born. Before your parents thought about having a child, God knew Nick Pike. Today, Nick is just a physical expression of someone who always existed in the mind of God. Nick, created by God, fearfully and wonderfully made with purpose and destiny. And the goal is to use your days, your years, your life to press into those purposes, to press into those good works, and to fulfill the reason God made you in the first place. But listen to how the verse ends. Which God prepared beforehand that we should, I've highlighted that word, walk in them. When I hear the word should, I think that Paul is saying this is not a suggestion. I think it might be good for Liesl to walk in the plans of God for her life. I think it's a good thing. This is not a good thing. This is something which is powerfully important for you. If you want to maximize your life, you should walk in the plans of God. Because there are many things that can sidetrack you. There are many things that can lead you astray. We heard about them this morning. There are many temptations and roads of compromise. But Paul says if you are a follower of Jesus Christ who wants to maximize their lives, you should press into the plans and purposes of God. It's not an option. It's an imperative. And also when you hear the word should, there's a choice involved. You don't have to. You could potentially choose to be an average Christian who comes to church and pays their tithe and sings songs and prays prayers and listens to sermons and still gets to heaven. That is your choice. Or you could choose to be a history maker, a world changer, someone whose life counts for all of eternity. Why? Because you pressed into the very reason God made you in the first place. It's like poetry in motion. You're flowing in the purpose of God for your life. You're flowing with God. You're going downstream, not always swimming upstream. You're flowing with God in the plans and purposes He has for your life. And your courage for this year will be linked to that purpose. How about this for number two? Courage is closely linked to the assurance of God's presence. In fact, you could always say courage rests upon the assurance of God's presence. I did some investigating this last week as I was preparing for this message, and I went through many of the familiar names in Scripture, and I could find no example where the calling of God was not linked to the presence of God. God never called anybody without saying, you know what, as you go and pursue that dream, pursue that assignment, I'm going to be with you. So God's presence is linked to the assignment He gives you. And I just loved, I'm sure you did as well, what Andrew spoke about this morning from Matthew chapter 28. Those powerful words. It's called the Great Commission. The commission to go and be disciple makers. To use your life to invest in the lives of others. So there's the assignment. And what does the next verse say? And lo, I am with you. Even to the end of the age. What a beautiful thing. To know that as you pursue God's call upon your life, as you choose to walk in the ways of God, right beside you, in fact within you, is the presence of Almighty God. To me, that's a game changer. That changes everything. If I'd have faced this year in my own strength, with my own wisdom, with my own good ideas, it's a frightening thought. But to think that no matter what comes across my path this year, what giants may present themselves, what challenges I may face, every step I take with the presence of Almighty God within me. It's a game changer. It makes such a difference and it fills me with tremendous courage. Look what God says to Joshua in verse 5. He says, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 9, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I became a father to Gemma 10 years ago. The most precious little girl. If you go on Facebook today and on Paula's page, you'll see the most beautiful picture of mom and daughter together. The most beautiful little girl, precious, adorable. But at night, sometimes Gemma gets scared. I don't know how many parents or your kids get scared sometimes. And from your bed, you're just snuggled up. You're nice and warm and comfortable. And you go, Dad, I'm scared. And, you know, it's just that normal procedure of having to get up and go and help. And but you know what? It's the most amazing thing. It's pitch dark in Jimmy's room. She's lying there scared. But the moment Dad arrives and Dad snuggles up next to her and holds her tight, you can just feel the fear dissipating. Everything's okay because Dad's here. All fear is gone because my Dad's here. The darkness may be big, but Dad's bigger. The demons may be big, but Dad's with me. Folk, I want to encourage you. Dad is with you this year. Your heavenly Father loves you with an everlasting love. I don't know what you're going to face this year, but I do know there will be challenges along the way. I do know those dark nights will present themselves where you call out, Daddy, help me. But those words will barely be out of your mouth and you'll feel the presence of God. I'm with you. You can make it. You're going to make it. Don't be afraid. The presence of God fills you with courage for those dark days. Courage is linked, not to your own strength. Courage is linked, clearly, the Bible teaches, to the presence of Almighty God. How about this one for number three? Courage is closely linked, I believe, from this text to what I call focused determination. Courage is closely linked to focused determination. And I say that, and I'll show you now from the text, that when the going gets tough, and Andrew reminded us this morning, sometimes it does, when the going gets tough, the temptation is to quit. And you say, God, this assignment you've given me, this dream you've given me for my life, this is too difficult. Isn't there a plan B? Isn't there something else you could rather give me? Because this particular one's too difficult. I want something easier. Well, look what God says to Joshua. He says, not once, not twice, but three times. Verse 6, verse 7, verse 9. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and of good courage. Three times in the space of three verses, God repeats the same thing to Joshua. Now, my question was, why? Does God have a short memory? Did he forget that he said the same thing a couple of verses before and again? Why did he keep repeating the same thing to Joshua? Well, because it was vitally important. When God repeats something twice, it's important. But when God repeats something three times, you must know this is critically important. Be strong and of good courage, times three. And you see, God knows things we don't know. God knew that beyond that Jordan River, there were giants. There were fortified cities. There were enemy armies. You see, God knows things we don't know. God knows what your year holds. You've got no idea what's in store for you. And sometimes it's a good thing. Because if we knew, we might be tempted to quit. But God says, as you face the unknown, as you launch into this new year, you've got no idea what the future holds, but you know who holds the future. And you place your faith, your hope, your confidence in God. And then your strength and courage will rise. As a young guy, I'm in awe of people who persevere. There's a lady in our church, and she's not here tonight, thank goodness, because I'm going to use her as an example. She has taught young children to love and follow Jesus for 49 years. That's longer than I've been alive. For 49 years, this particular person has gone downstairs into the forgotten parts of the church, found a classroom, and poured her life into young boys and girls for 49 years. Now, you tell me, over 49 years, has she been discouraged? Yes. Did she face opposition? Did people criticize her? Probably. Were there times she felt like quitting and giving up? Absolutely. But for 49 years, she has poured out her life in pursuit of the call of God. Torcy Townsend, strong and courageous. Strong and courageous. Strong and courageous. My friends, when the going gets tough and you feel like quitting, may strength that you haven't got in your natural capacity, strength that only comes from Almighty God, give you the courage to keep on keeping on. Don't quit. Keep on keeping on. Keep on living the life. Keep on loving your spouse. Keep on raising your kids. Keep on living a life of integrity to the very end. You know, I spoke at a school a little while ago, and I spoke about Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison, as we know, invented the light bulb. How many times do you think Thomas Edison tried to invent a light bulb and failed? Do you know? 10,000 times. 10,000 times he tried, and 10,000 times that bulb refused to shine. And so somebody came and said, Thomas, how does it feel to having, to fail 10,000 times? You failed 10,000 times. How does it feel? He said, well, what do you mean I failed 10,000 times? I didn't fail 10,000 times. He said, you did. He said, no, I didn't. I just found 10,000 ways how not to make a light bulb shine. He persevered, and today we enjoy the fruit of Thomas Edison's work. What about you? Had you failed the 10th time? Give up. Try something else. The 50th time? Keep on keeping on, my friends. Keep on doing the right thing. Keep on persevering, and you will reap the rewards. One of my heroes is a guy called Jim Elliot. You may have read his book. Jim went as a pioneer missionary to a place in southern America, South America, and he arrived there and was killed, as you probably know. And people interviewed his wife and said, Elizabeth, how does this feel? Your husband died. This is crazy. How do you feel? She said, you know what? God has not called us to a playground. He's called us to a battlefield. The going will get tough, my friends. Don't throw in the towel. There was a World War II pilot who once said this. You knew you were flying right over opposition territory when people started to shoot at you. If there are no bullets, wrong place, wrong target, find someone else, find somewhere else to go. And I just know as we go through life, as a pastor, I can give you no guarantees. I've buried people's children. I've buried people's wives, buried people's husbands. I've seen people suffer through cancer and chemotherapy. In this life, there are no guarantees. The only thing I can guarantee you is that in the good, the bad, and the ugly of life, you can be strong and courageous because God is with you. Nothing else I can say, my friends. I can't promise you wealth and health and a good life. I don't know what life has in store for you. All I do know is there will be trouble. That's all I do know. Let me not try and hoodwink you tonight. There will be trouble in this world. My question is, where's your root? Where's your anchor? When the day comes, will you stand or will you fall? Be strong and courageous. You are loved by God, treasured by God, and He will never leave you and never forsake you. He will be with you to the very end of the age. And here's the last one. Take me a few moments just to wrap it up. This text tells us that courage is anchored, in a sense, by the Word of God. Look at verse 8. I think it's up on the big screen. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I saw something in this verse I haven't seen before. It doesn't say in that verse that God will make your way prosperous and that God will give you good success, does it? It says you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Some of us wait around for God to live our lives for us. Come on, God, give me a job, give me a life, give me a wife. Well, maybe. But what are you doing about making your life good? You can't sit around waiting for God to do things that He's called you to do. And one of the things He's called you to do is to honor and respect His word. That's what He's called you to do. And so there are three key words that I want to wrap up with. The one is mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. And that speaks of speaking. Speaking the truth of God's word. Proclaiming the truth of God's word over your life. Over your marriage, over your children, over your future. Don't speak people's opinions over your life, man. People's opinions count for nothing. There's only one opinion that counts, and that's God's opinion. What does He think of you? He thinks you're amazing. He thinks you're beautiful. He thinks you're full of potential. He loves you. Speak His truth over your life. There's not a night that goes past that I don't slip into Tim or Jimmy's room. They're fast asleep. They've got no knowledge of this. They'll find out one day when they're older. And I go and sit on the edge of their bed, and I speak truth over their lives. Timothy and Gemma, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, loved by God. You are filled with God-given destiny and potential. Tim and Jim, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you. And guess what's happening? They're becoming what I'm speaking. What are you speaking over your children's lives? What are you speaking over your marriage? What are you speaking over your future? Declare the truth over your life and watch what happens. The second one is meditate, the Bible says. We're living in a busy world. There's so much noise and distraction. I find great value in just being quiet. Just stopping. Paul has taught me a lot about this. She's very good at it. I'm learning. But just to be quiet. Put aside the cell phone. Put aside Facebook. Turn off the television. And just for 10 minutes, close my eyes and think about my life. You know what happens when you think? You realize there's so many things you want, so many things you think you need, but when you're quiet, you realize how much you've already got. Lord, I wish I had a bigger house, but my goodness, I've got a house. Thank you, Lord. I've got a wife who loves me. I've got children. I'm healthy. There's so many things to be grateful for, and those things come through being quiet and through thinking. I want to challenge you this year, cut out the noise, the distraction, and find time to sit in a quiet place and to think about how good God has been to you. It'll change your life. And the last word, He says that you may observe to do all that is in the book. I actually quite like that word do, because there's a lot of Christians, and maybe I'm guilty of it as well, who love to talk, but don't love to do. There are a lot of people who come and say, Mark, look at all my scriptures. They're underlined in different colors. I've got blue, I've got green, I've got purple. They're all underlined. What a lovely Christian I am. I say, no. Do you love your wife, my friend? Are you honest? Are you kind? I don't care how much you know about the Bible. Are you kind? Do you treat people well? Are you good? You see, the world is not so worried about how much we know, my friends. They're not looking for clever Christians. They're looking for humble people who, to the best of their ability, are committed to putting into practice that which they claim to believe. They may not agree with you. They may think the book, the Bible, is a load of junk. That's their prerogative, but they respect you for living what you believe. Is that what you're doing? Are you living the Bible, living the truth? Somebody once said to me, Mark, you know what? I've been through the Bible cover to cover. I've been through the book. My question was, has the book been through you? The question is, not have you been through the book. Has the book been through you? How does what you claim to believe with your lips transform or translate into the way you live your life? There must be a correlation between belief and behavior. May God give you the grace this year, guys, to not just be hearers of the Word of God, but to do it. To speak it, to meditate on it, and then to go and do it to the glory of God. I want us just to close our eyes now for a few moments. And I just want to give you four thoughts to just mull over as you face the new week. They're not rocket science, but they are important just to think through and to contemplate. The first thought is, have you settled your mission and your purpose in life? Are you living an intentionally purposeful existence? And when you have, you can attach courage to that mission, because you'll be courageous for a reason. What is it that you feel God has called you to do specifically for this year? In the line of business, in the line of raising your children, in the life of personal integrity, whatever it may be for you, what has God called you to do? And then say, Lord, help me to be courageous for that particular purpose. That's something good to think through over the course of the week. What's my assignment? What's my purpose? And I'll link courage to that assignment. Number two is more of an encouragement. I want you to realize tonight that no matter what life throws at you this year, and as I said, there are no guarantees. There will be times of good, times of bad, times of ugly, times of painful. I don't know what life has in store for you this year, but I want to encourage you with one thing. Almighty God has promised to be with you every single step of the way. I want you to let that sink from your head into your spirit. It's a game changer. God is with you. God is with you every single step of the way. It changes everything. Number three, how are you doing when it comes to determination, to perseverance? Are you someone who gives up too easily? You're always looking for the easy way, the easy option. May God give you courage this year to persevere through the bad days. Those days you feel like quitting, giving up, doing something else. May God give you the courage to keep on keeping on and never to give up. And then maybe number four is a real powerful challenge to take with us into the year. Are you speaking truth over your life? Are you speaking truth, words of life and hope over your children? Or are you being swayed by the opinions of people, what man thinks of you? Let the Word of God direct your life this year, the way you speak, the way you meditate and think. And then say, God, I don't want to just be a thinker and a reader. I want your Word to transform me this year, to make me a better wife, a better husband, a better father, a better mother, a better person. I want to do and put into practice the words of Jesus. And my prayer for you is that every single day of your life, guys, God will give you the grace and the strength to be courageous people. That you'll get to the end of December and 2017 will have been different to 2016 because you've been courageous and you've pursued the purpose of God for your life. I know you can do it because God is with you to enable you and to empower you to do it. Amen. Amen. Guys, I hope you enjoyed that. I hope it was encouraging to you. And may God give you the grace and the strength to go and be those people He's called you to be. I thought, what better way to end our service? And of course, for those who are new, there's no obligation. But what we do every now and again in our church is we have what we call communion. And communion consists of two things. It consists of a piece of bread, which symbolizes the broken body of Jesus. And we have a cup, which symbolizes the shed blood of Jesus. Two very simple things, but they symbolize incredibly powerful things. The body, the blood of Jesus. I want to encourage you as you receive those two things tonight. It's a wonderful time to meditate. It's a great time to be quiet. And maybe that's a good way to end our service, just to be quiet, to think and reflect, and to think that everything you have, everything you ever will do, is a gift to you that flows from Calvary. For God so loved the world, that includes you, that He gave His only begotten Son, His name is Jesus Christ. That whoever believes in Jesus, that person shall never perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. Let's take some time as we receive the bread and the cup tonight to think and reflect and to respond to the wonderful grace of our Heavenly Father.
Oh Lord, You've searched me, and You know my way. even when I failed you, I know you love me. I know you love me. And your hope.